Thanks very much for joining us. 10 minutes past six here on Irirangi Wānea. We're talking politics now with our brother, our good friend Shane Te Pau. He joins us now. We're going to talk all about the power outage, and we're also going to be talking about the lag behind COVID-19 vaccinations for our whānau. Me tuku mihi kia koe, brother. Thank you so very much for joining us. Yes. So,
always a pleasure.
So we're very worried about the power outage, particularly for our vulnerable whānau and particularly our kaumātua kuia. We see in the debate in the House today that the minister didn't know that it that there was a power outage until somebody in her office had texted her or emailed her. Now, she is the boss, of, and we're talking about Megan Woods. She is the boss. However, I do have some sympathy for her because I tend to think that bureaucracy gets in the way of really good government. Am I right to think that actually the minister was kept in the dark and no pun intended?
Well, this was a whole market failure. This wasn't a government failure. This was a market failure. The CEO of the organisation, who, by the way, is paid north of $1 million. Listen, hear that again, north of $1 million per year, knew that there was a critical incident occurring. And I don't, and I'm not overusing that term because, you know, the whānau out there rely on power. If you've, say, for instance, got asthma and you need to use a nebulizer, you need electricity, you know. And what he should have done is he should have simply called rather than got underling to send an email. And so it seems to be a huge mistake on behalf of the provider. As I say, he should have taken responsibility for ensuring that the minister knew. There's a myriad of ways to get a hold of a minister any time of the day or night, and what you simply do is you ring Parliament, you tell them that it's critically important, and they will post you through to the minister. If they can't get a hold of the minister, there's a diplomatic police. There's a whole lot of ways in which it could have been handled. To simply send an email at 8 or 9 on the off chance that you know someone might be reading it in my view, a dereliction of duty, but not the first one, and I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit, not the first one for the day.
Yeah, look, and the other thing is you brought up a really interesting point, and that was around made a commercial decision. So that means then that there was profitability involved in this, profitability above people's welfare. I mean, that shouldn't be tolerated by anybody. What do you think the minister do now?
Well, I think we need to do what Labor talked about 6 years ago, and that's reform the market. The market isn't delivering. Well, it's delivering for its shareholders in terms of profits, but it's also delivering unnecessarily high power costs. It's not investing in the infrastructure as it ought to. And what you've got to remember is that those assets that have been basically fundamentally privatised, although it's sort of a quasi-government organisation, government entity, they were assets that we owned, the taxpayer owned. But now they've been sort of privatised, I think we ought to take them back. They belong to us. And supply of electricity is as important as supply of water. It's as important as many of the fundamentals in life. And I think we need massive reform. There is a disjoint between the suppliers and I'm talking about the energy suppliers and the transmission lines. I think that they should be one and the same. I think that the taxpayer and the consumer are getting the bums rush over this.
Yeah, very good. Listen, I just before we go on to the COVID thing, I did want to get your opinion on the report that came out for funding, underfunding of Māori health. So in just one of the outcomes, the findings, or one of the findings, a $1 million underspend in Māori health resulted in a $1 billion underspend in Māori health resulted in a $5 billion debt to the nation.
Yeah, and this is why we need the Māori Health Authority. I'm very pleased it's been set up. Its sole purpose is to ensure that that the resources are placed in the right area at the right time by the right people. So the fix is there. You know, unlike the electrical supply, we've got a new model, and the sooner the better. And I think this justifies the actions of Minister Henare and the cabinet.
Yeah, the only thing is, if we, you know, because of this report, we can be sceptical, can we not, around the funding that for the Māori Health Authority. So if there are two authorities, there's Health New Zealand, Māori Health Authority, will they get equitable funding in terms of the vulnerability of the groups that they serve? So equity doesn't mean equal. Equity means the number, the challenges within those communities in which they serve, and we have more challenges, we have more issues, therefore equity of funding should reflect that.
Yeah, the proof is easy in the pudding, but I'm hopeful, and I'm more than hopeful. I'm more than hopeful for two reasons. One, the Māori Health Authority has a sole purpose, and that is the delivery of health services and accountability in terms of health outcomes. It's their sole purpose. At the moment, it's the money, the resources, the outcomes are put in the sort of the general pool. And this particular report proves, once again, that there isn't the focus that's needed, and Māori miss out.
Interesting. Remember, our rangatira Winston Peters was not supportive of a Māori Health Authority. Mm.
Well, yeah, he wasn't, but it also, I remember when the when whole whānau ora was first mooted, he wasn't keen on that. And when he became part of the Labour New Zealand First / Greens coalition, not only did he continue to support it, but he added extra funding. Sometimes the way in which people campaign and the way in which people deliver a government are very different, and the reality is that if Winston does return, he's likely to return at 6 or 7% at the most, and coalition agreements are all about doing a deal, so we'll face that, we'll cross that bridge if and when we come to it, I think.
COVID-19 strategy not working for Māori. I just finished speaking with Whetu Rangi Walsh Tapiata from Whanganui Te Oranga Nui or Whanganui, and you know, Turiki Health is the same, Northland is the same. They're rolling out their own strategies because they know their community, their rohe, really, really well. It's not part of the overall big picture strategy. That strategy is missing our people. Well, while our Māori providers are doing the best they can do to gather in their communities, why isn't the government listening to our Māori providers?
Yeah, well, that's the answer, isn't it? The answer is that we need to place the responsibility, we need to place the support, we need to place the resources in the components of our community that work with the community. And if you talk to anyone in West Auckland, both Māori, Pākehā, Pacifica, they will tell you the wonderful work that Waipareira is doing. I think Mūma, I'm not sure whether that program is still rolling out. They were given a limited number of COVID vaccines. Manurewa also. I just think it works, and we need more of it. And remember, let's say, for example, we get a 90% adult vaccination rate. across the country, and then we're only doing the 50-60% in amongst the Māori community. We are only as strong as our weakest point, so we've got to get it right. The numbers aren't all bad. There are some age groups that that are hitting the mark. There are some that aren't. So I don't think it's a major overhaul that's needed. I think it's just a refocus. And I also think we'll start to see a better uptake once general practitioners have access to the vaccination, because really, by and large, that's the health professional that we have the most contact with. So I'm hopeful that it will pick up, but you're right, and it's very hard to argue against it. We've got to put the power and the resources into the Māori providers who know their community better than anyone else.